to the Pair Podcast. I'm your host, Sandra, and I hope, as always, that you are having a fantastic, awesome, clawsome day. And I, myself, am having a crazy hair day, but we're going to go with it, and we're going to have some fun today, because today's guest is the queen of verb memes, or verb meme reels, because she is always creating these hilarious and relatable videos when it comes to being a parrot owner. And so today we're going to chat with her because she's also quite knowledgeable in parrots, and she has a very diverse flock. She has a mix of pouter and non-pouter birds. She has 6 birds, and each of them are different size and species. So we're going to talk to her about what that's like at home and how they get along and how she manages having such different birds, including a budgie, a sun conure, a cockatiel, an African gray, an Indian ringneck, and an eclectus parrot. And she is the first person on the podcast to have a budgie, an Indian ringneck, and an eclectus parrot. So we're going to get to know what those types of parrots are like. So I'm super excited to chat with her. So grab a coffee, grab a cup of tea, or whatever you like to drink, and join us as we chit-chat and have some fun.
I like your hair. It's cute.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I was like, I'm having a really crazy hair day, but we're just going to go with it because nothing's working today. So we went with this.
Yeah. We're bird people. We always have crazy hair days.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure Mia will fix it for me later.
Exactly.
Well, let's start off with getting to know you. Let everybody know about yourself and how you got into birds, and tell us about your flock.
Ooh, okay. So it was during COVID I got into birds. Oh, Benny just ate my computer key. Sir, I need that. Thank you. he thinks it's funny. It was during COVID. I think my dog got sick of me. He's like, you need friends, you need a life, maybe, you know, branch out. Just kidding. I've always seen birds. They were always like ornamental in my media and stuff. I didn't realize they could be such interactive and fun pets. My brother-in-law had a parrot, and I met it, and it just something clicked in my brain, and I've been hooked ever since. He has one. Or I'm sorry, two now. He got a Gerardine parrot.
Oh, okay.
He had, the first parrot I ever met was a Gendé conure. Really pretty
and really loud.
Yeah. And then he also has a Gerardine now, which she's really cool. I like her. I got a budgie Louie. He's flying around, you can hear him. He was my first bird, and then Mr. Toshi here was my second bird. But he would go online teaching with me, like Mia is for you. So all the students would call him Science Chicken.
Tell us about each of your birds, like their names and their species, and tell us their age too.
So I have Toshi the cockatiel. He's about almost 4. I have Angie the sun conure. He's also 4. I have Louie the budgie, who's, I think he's 5. I got him from a pet store. He was my first parrot, so I didn't really know a lot about birds yet.
Yeah.
And he had been there a long time. So I know he's at least 5. Benny, my crabby African gray you just saw I adopted, I know he's at least 13. Going on 50. He's crabby. He's our house grouch. And then I don't know if you can see her that well, Miss Parker.
Yes. Oh, Miss Parker. I know her very well. She's famous on Instagram.
She's my baby. That's my eclectus. And she's almost 2. I'm very lucky to have her. She's my dream bird. And I have an Indian ringneck who is broody and mad. So she's up in her room playing right now.
And how old is she?
She's 2.5, I think. I'm
okay. So I know that you got your budgie from the pet store, and your African gray you adopted. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you got the other 4. Are they all the rest of them adopted as well?
No, Toshi, I actually got 2 months after my budgie, so he's also from a pet store.
Okay.
My son Tanya and my eclectus are from a local place here where I'm at. And so she's she runs pet store, and she's really, really sweet, but she has her own pair of eclectus. So it came directly from a breeder.
Okay.
And then my Indian ringneck, that one was at the pet store over a year, the one that's local to my town. And so when I visited her, she flew to me. And I was like, okay, we're going home. You're mine.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So cute. Something sparked inside of you and you're like, I need to get a bird. And when you brought your budgie home, like, Did you, before you brought your budgie home, did you do a bunch of research? Like, was it what you expected, or were you surprised what it was like to have a bird?
With Louie, I did my budgie. I did quite a bit of research, but I feel like with parrots, it's endless research. So I
Yeah.
did cage size and care and how to tame them. But it's kind of like a what if then process when you get birds. I
Yeah.
feel like you're always kind of searching for more answers. So I did what I felt like was a decent amount of research. And then I realized it's like having a kid. You're just like, oh, I got a lot more work to do.
Yeah.
So it was, we kind of learned together, but he was very timid. And because of the way that they had him displayed at the pet store, it was like an open container where people could put their hands in. So he
Oh.
hates hands, but he's super social. And so we've kind of worked around that where he'll just kind of perch on my head. So I just go, come here, and he'll fly to my head and kind of do a hands-off thing. I'm hoping eventually he'll trust my hands aren't going to eat him, but.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask you, I'm so curious about this because you have such a diverse flock. So
Okay.
you've got six birds and they're all different sizes and different
Yeah.
species. And so I really want to know, like, do they get along? Like, when you introduce them, like, were they cool with each other? Have you ever had them like fight? And like, do you ever get nervous because you have like a bigger bird, like an African gray, and then you have a smaller bird, like a budgie? And if they squabbled,
Yeah.
then we know how that could end up. So, what is that like at home?
It's such a good question. I get asked that all the time. Sorry, just keep an eye on a bird, actually. And so I don't want to give bad advice. So I just throwing it out there. I'm not an expert. This is what works for me in my house.
Yeah.
So I've always observed in nature, you'll see larger birds and smaller birds together, foraging, right? And they're not fighting. And so what I looked at was what causes fights. And I feel like the behavior with parrots is a form of communication. So I'm always kind of watching them, but with my not my cousins, with my sun conure, my cockatiel, and my budgie, those were my first three birds, and they really super bonded together because my budgie's super social, and my cockatiel and my sun conure were very young. So they've always been exposed to that kind of diverse and socialization. So I feel like they've always kind of clicked.
Yeah.
When I brought Benny home, because he was the fourth bird I brought home, I was super nervous and I wasn't sure how it was going to go. Benny is kind of like an old soul. Like he just wants to be, he likes being present, but not around the other birds. So he's always kind of
Okay.
had, like, I'll show you in my, he has his box. And Benny likes to just sit in his little box and they leave him alone. So that's kind of like they have their established areas and Benny's just left alone. With Parker, there was an issue with my son Conyer. I used to have a Nande that I had, and he passed away, unfortunately. He had a neurological issue, but they were
Oh.
super bonded. And so my son Conyer was actually like attacking my children because he was so territorial over my Nande Conyer. And so I had to really keep them apart for a while. Once the Nande passed away, which is really sad, and she kind of my son Conyer settled down, like that behavior and the aggression. But so with the introduction with Parker, I do quarantine as long as possible, so at least 30 days.
Yeah.
And during that time, they're hearing her, they know there's a bird in the house, and they're used to being around other birds.
Yeah.
And anytime, like I don't push them to interact, but I watch and see what they do. So I really observe body language. If I see any signs of aggression, like they're not allowed around each other. But I kind of had her in a separate room, like a very neutral space, and I had brought them to her. And then I just gave them treats and I sing to them and I dance to them. I'm in this neutral space, so it's kind of like fun to be together. If I see aggression, I say no, and I set them down and turn my back on them just kind of like for a few seconds so they learn like they don't get attention for that. And so that's kind of the process I've always used, but I like to really make sure that I have plenty of perch spaces in my house. I have them all over, so they're free to fly and leave as they need to. Down here in the neutral space, they only get food if they're on me, so it's like a treat kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then I want to be really mindful in their bird room because they have their own cage and they're territorial over that. Well, depending on the species, conures
Yeah.
tend to be a little more territorial over my cockatiel. So I just kind of look at species, behaviors, hormone seasons, making sure I eliminate any need for conflict, and then kind of it's worked. There are some times where my sun conure gets mad when he's hormonal, and that's where he has less time around the other birds. So my Indian ringneck won't be in the room today because she's very broody and I don't want an issue. Hopefully that makes sense and I explained it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also mentioned that with Parker, your eclectus and your sun conure, there's been issues before. Like, did they get into a squabble or like a fight?
No. Sorry, I didn't finish that. When I first did their introduction, he would do the head bobbing. And she was just when I brought her home. So she was just like, la, la, la. And I was like, yeah, no. So they weren't allowed around each other for a while. And then after my Nande passed away, plus hormone season ended, then they were fine. It was kind of a really intense period with my sun conure. And I could see where people, if you're not aware of like bird puberty and bird hormones, that I see why they get rehomed, because you're like, I can't do this forever. You know, he's attacking my kids. But luckily I'd known about that. So I could just kind of, you know, I met with my vet and we kind of worked with it. We thought about, different options, like the hormone thing. Luckily he didn't need it, but I had to fully isolate him from the flock for a little bit there.
Yeah. I think that's really important. There's like so many things to consider when you're introducing mm-hmm. birds, and also their species, and like really understanding species specific and like when their puberty hits, because their puberties hit at different ages as well. Yeah. And like taking all of these different things into consideration. But also I like what you said, like having them in a neutral space and like having several different stands and perches so that if they don't want to be around each other, they don't have to be around each other.
Yes. And I never force my birds to interact. And I think that's why I've never really made a video on this, because I don't want to put information that can be harmful, or, you know, and I haven't found the best way to explain it. And I'm just, so it's like they have their space and I'm just cleaning up after them. Thanks for the question.
That's what we always do as bird moms. We're always walking around cleaning up after them. Every time we clean the house the next day, the next hour, it's no longer clean.
Yeah. Which I like cleaning. Get a good podcast on. It's a nice relaxing thing. They make me happier, even though it's more work.
I know. I love birds and like they have such a special place in my heart, but I think that it's also really awesome to talk with other parents, because then you get to know other people's like experiences and what works for them and what doesn't work for them. And you also realize how different every bird is, even if they're like the same species, and they're really just such individuals. And it's just so important to really get to know them on an individual level, but also like research what do they need and what do they require. So I know you talked about, you know, having all of these different species and they interact fine with each other, but I'm sure you've also seen this online before, is that sometimes when there's a bigger bird with a smaller bird, and if you're not taking the precautions and if you're not, you know, assessing hormones and how they get along, and you're not supervising them every time that they're out, then accidents can happen that can be devastating. So what are your tips for somebody who's like, oh, I have a small bird and I want to get a bigger bird, or vice versa? I have a big bird and I want to get a small bird, but I'm worried about, you know, them interacting or something happening.
That's a great question. Oh, you're making so many great points. My advice, like for me, I didn't plan on them getting along, if that makes sense. Like I always have a backup. So right now, if they're not getting along, I have spaces for them. They can be out and exercise and interact. I can keep them separate if needed. And just be prepared that even if you get birds of the same species, they may not get along. And exactly. I don't want to be like alarmist, but you always got to keep an eye on your parrots when they're out. And that's just, or, you know, just be mindful of, even if they're in a cage, like budgies, you'll see some where they get plucked by a partner or injuries that way.
Yeah.
And that's the whole process too. Do they have space to move? Do they have enough food dishes? What are they communicating through their behavior? But as a precautionary thing, always have a backup plan to keep them separate if needed. So yeah, like right now I have like four spaces in my house that they could go to.
That's awesome.
I have the bird room. I have the aviary outside. I have my office. So I have a lot of spaces for them.
Yeah.
It's just, I think the reason I kind of started this whole thing is I really like having them out as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of like, I just want to see if this can work. And I feel like with parrots, we're learning so much that it's, nothing's like set in stone. And kind of like you brought up, every household is different. Every bird's different. And I think socialization is really key in this working. Has your bird been exposed to other birds? If you have a singular bird like Benny was for a while, he doesn't really like other birds. He doesn't want anyone, you know, he barely tolerates me. but just, yeah, know your bird, know their personality, and then have a backup if it doesn't work.
Yeah. So in the bird room, so I love that you have so many different spaces and that's awesome. And the bird room, is it like a place where they can be out or is that where all of their cages are?
The only time they're out is if it's one bird out, because okay. I don't want any fights over cages.
Yeah.
So they're usually like, that's where they eat and hang out. That's their okay. safe space. So I don't trust it to try it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, I have a sunroom in my house that I want to convert to a bigger bird room.
Amazing.
But it's not weathered well. And I'm nervous about, I have to figure out how to keep it temperature safe for them. But I don't like them interacting around cages. I feel like that's asking for conflict.
Yeah, absolutely. And so the bird room is where all their cages are. So that's their safe space when they go into their cages to eat and to sleep and things like that. You also mentioned you have an outdoor aviary. Tell me about that.
I can kind of show it to you. It's not the best. I don't love it. I'm going to probably do something.
I saw some videos on Instagram. It looks quite big.
Yeah,
it is quite big.
Yeah, I really like it. I have to set it up for spring. But I don't like the metal. I feel like it's not. I want a quality one that's going to last where I don't have to worry about rust and stuff. So I'm hoping to build one, like a huge one in my yard and then have a divider. But
amazing.
We'll see.
That's amazing.
There's a lot of hawks in my neighborhood though.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. you got to be careful of those. I've seen also people put like these nets like over their entire backyard.
Yes.
So yeah, that's also an idea. So it's quite like your outdoor aviary is a bit away from the door. So how do you get them from your house into the aviary?
Oh, it's cool. I have a little outdoor, I have a little carrier. And I just say, you guys want to go outside? And they know the word and they'll fly in. And then I just take them out and then let them out.
Cute. I love it. Do they all fit into this carrier?
I take multiple trips, so I get my steps. Benny actually doesn't like going outside. My African gray, he hates it. But I make him go for his feathers. But
Yeah. They need that sunlight.
Yeah,
sunshine does them good and a little fresh air too.
Their feathers get so pretty when they get that outside time. So
I know. And I've also heard that they smell a lot better after they've been in the sun for longer periods.
They do. It's like a roasted aroma. And
I'm like, oh, I just want to sniff you. Burp smell is like my favorite smell. I'm like always inhaling her. My husband's always like, are you okay? I'm like, I just can't stop. I wanted to also ask you, how far apart did you get each of your birds?
Well, the birds hit me quick. It was like, I don't know, like I said, it clicked my brain. I was like, this is my life now. I'm gonna embrace it and I love it. So I got Louie in January. I got Toshi in January. I got Engie in April, Benny in May. And then I waited 6 months before I got the Nande, who passed away. And then about a year later, I got Parker. And then 6 months after that, I got Newton. So I got them all kind of.
I want to ask you some species specific questions. But before we get into that, you also mentioned you have kids. How many kids do you have?
I have two.
Two kids, plus you're a teacher, so you work with kids. So you have a lot of experience with kids, and now you have quite a bit of experience with parrots. And we hear this all the time, that birds are like flying toddlers. They're like kids.
Yes.
And you, I think, are going to be the best person to tell us, is this true? Are parrots like flying kids?
They're very similar. I've noticed that a lot of the strategies I use with kids works really well with the birds. I talk a lot. It drives people nuts sometimes, but repetition in my phrases or using, okay, go outside. Like all those things I used, because I used to work in a daycare as well. It's really helped me with my birds. So I really see that, like their attitudes, their pouting, their happiness. Like, they're just pure emotion. Whatever a parrot is, that's what they feel at that moment. It's like 100%. At least that's how I feel. So I totally see the toddlerism in them.
Yeah, they're so like pure. And I find that too, because I used to teach long ago. And when I'm like singing or using those high-pitched voices or like talking all cute, like you mentioned repetition, I feel like that always like really works with Mia. And with Mia, she doesn't really talk, but she can say her name. And she says her name exactly the way that I say it when I would like repeat it in like my cute high-pitched voice where I'm like, so she does it the exact same way. And I've noticed that Parker has a song that you've repeated so many times that now she sings it with you.
She does. She hasn't been singing it lately because, do you want to step up? She's mad at me for my finger cast. I took her to the vet to get her nails done yesterday too. I'm a real jerk. So,
That's so funny because yesterday I filed Mia's nails down a little bit because I noticed that they were starting to get sharp, and she was a great sport about it. But then after, she was just giving me the side eye, and she like went to go hang out in one of her like perching ropes, and she was just like staring at me from a distance like, I can't believe you gave me a manicure. And I'm like, what? I love manicures.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, she Parker's the character. That bird has so much personality. It's ridiculous.
Okay, but, so I love it because I want to ask you actually a couple of questions about Parker. So Parker is your eclectus, yes, and she is beautiful. She's got those red, like indigo, purpley blue feathers. And so because of those colors, we know that she is a female, and males always have these beautiful bright green feathers. So I feel like, I think with eclectus parrots, they're one of the only, I think, parrot species where you can tell them apart, like male, female, based on color. Maybe I'm wrong. There might be more.
I think there might be a few others. I don't know if, like, you can tell by a few color variations, but none as like stark of a difference as the eclectus.
Yeah. The eclectus is definitely like, that's for sure the female, that's for sure the male, and they have completely different colors. You also mentioned that she was like your dream bird. Why was an eclectus your dream bird? I want to know.
Oh, their colors. I something about their colors, it just calms me. I don't know. I could stare at her all day. And I know, I always hear that the males make better pets. I hear that
really?
A lot. Mm-hmm.
Why?
And I actually, because they're more social, the female eclectus in nature, they go into their tree hollows for like up to 9 months out of the year. And so they're seen as not as social. They're seen as more broody and hormonal. But I think if you understand their body language, you can kind of work around a lot of that. The males in nature, they go out and forage and bring food back for the females. So they're really busy and interactive and more social. So that's, at least that's where I feel like it came from. So I remember trying to find an eclectus for a long time. I was like kind of going around asking people. And one person said, why do you want one? Like, they're bad birds. They just sit there. They don't do anything. They're kind of ornamental birds. And I was like, oh. And so I
think that's mean.
I think the females get a lot of bad rep sometimes because they are very sweet, but they are also very sassy.
Yeah.
But I like that.
Me too. I think that, like, if you are a bird lover, you just like love noise, you love sass, and you have some kind of love for cleaning as well.
Yep, you nailed it.
So what is it like to have an eclectus? Like, what do you find is like very species specific when it comes to like personality or like certain care requirements?
Well, the eclectus, I think the phrase I've heard before is easy to breed, hard to feed, because they, you know, like for breeders, they're somewhat easy, but their diet's very specific. So some people, you can get away. I mean, it's not best practice, but you can feed a parrot seeds and pellets and they'll live. With an eclectus, you can't. They have to have fruit and vegetables, and it has to be a huge chunk of their diet because of the structure of the digestive tract. It's a lot longer than other parrots. So they like hyper absorb nutrients. Personally, it like kind of goes back to their breeding style because the females are only fed by the males while they guard their hollows.
Right.
So if you give a parrot only pellets, they're absorbing too much and then they get sick. And they're very prone to health issues from that. So it's kind of they're one of the few parrot species where their lifespan in captivity is lower than in nature. I do think that's going to get better because we know more about them. So that I think is the biggest point that I worry about with her, because I want to make sure I'm doing my job right.
Yeah.
And you know, parrot anxiety is a thing, I think. And the other thing is their body language. So I know when my son Conyers mad or yeah. when he doesn't like something, because he's very vocal. With yeah. the eclectus, they have a freeze response. And so people thought that they were dumb birds for a while because they would freeze in like kind of when they're nervous. So if your parrot's quiet and it's an eclectus, they may or may not like what you're doing.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Wow. And
their bites hurt.
Yeah, I was going to ask next, like, has she ever bitten you? And what are the bites like? Because I've heard like African greys slice through the skin like butter.
Yeah, Benny's bit me. I feel like he holds back with me because we have like a mutual understanding. His bites hurt, but Parker's hurt. They hurt the soul and the body.
So worse than your African gray.
Oh, yeah. I have a little scar on my lip. It's totally my fault because I was being dumb. But I was like, a cuddle bird. And she was mad. And I tried to, you know, peck her on the head. And she got me right here. So, yeah, she'll use her beak. But
she's not afraid to use it.
Not at all. So I have to really know, like, and I'm still learning because she's a baby and I'm still learning her. We got 50 years together, hopefully. But
is that their lifespan? 50 years?
Up to 50. Yeah. In the wild. So. Hopefully I can get that from her. In captivity, it's roughly 30.
So in the wild, they can live up to 50 and in captivity, 30?
Yeah, but I feel like that data is kind of skewed because their diet stuff's only, you know, within the last 20 years really been studied.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's going to go up as we learn more about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy. Interesting. And is she a talker? Like, I know she can say her name. Oh. And mommy loves her as your song goes, but like, would you say like out of all your parrot species, like, would you say that you have at home, would you say that she's a good talker?
She's the best talker. Benny talks a lot too, but he kind of sticks to microwave noises. He was a fireman's bird. So he makes a lot of fireman noise. Parker I've had since she was a baby and I talk a lot. That's what I do. So she mimics a lot. But she's learned to call me in my kid's voice. So she goes, Mom. And it's freaky. If I'm home alone and I hear my kid calling for me, I'm like, I didn't take him to school. And
oh my God.
Yeah. So cute.
That is so crazy, but also so cute. Like, I've been waiting for Mia to say Mom. Like, if she says Mom one day, I will like literally melt.
Your heart will melt. Yeah. I'm hoping she'll do it, but yeah, she does like, hi Parker, do you want to come here? What are you doing? And she talks in her room at night the most, but I can never get it like clear on audio, but she just talks to herself all the time. Hi Benny.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Mimic Benny.
Yeah. Like she goes, hey bird in Benny's voice. Cause that's how he talks. But I heard him tell her to shut up once. So there's something going on there.
He told her to shut up?
When I brought Benny home, I wasn't used to a talking parrot yet. And he would talk in a man's voice. And so it would freak me out when I was home alone. And I'd hear like, achoo, oh God. And like, he would just fart and burp all the time. And it was like, it was interesting.
So clearly his owner was like one of those, like a man's man that was always burping and... Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
He's hilarious. I really enjoy him.
I've talked to a few people who have African greys, and I know that they're powder birds. You also have a cockatiel and they're powder birds too. So what is it like having like a mix of powder and non-powder birds?
That's why I have to make another bird room, because you don't want, and I didn't know about this. And like I was saying with parrots, you're always learning. You don't want old world parrots with new world parrots because the dust can agitate them.
Yeah.
But there are things you can do. Like Benny's actually not too bad, but I give him a spritz daily and then I clean his cage daily. So that helps. Okay. My cockatiel's not super dusty either, but I think he likes to bathe himself a lot.
Yeah.
He copies my son Conyer. But I also bought like a massive air purifier. It's like for a 3,000 square foot house and I put it in the bird room. So it's like a huge, it's like almost as tall as me. And it's just sitting right next to Benny's cage until I can figure that out. So I mean, I wouldn't recommend it. Now I know better. but I know a lot of people do like cockatoo rooms and then a macaw room. But luckily I can kind of have the cages spaced out and they're out most of the day. And I feel like that helps a lot. Yeah, hopefully I answered that.
Yeah. And do you find that when you're hanging out with Benny, like, do you notice a difference in like your own like breathing after a certain amount of time, or are you sensitive to that at all? Or
I have a hard time telling because I have really bad allergies. I'm allergic to mulberry and I have a gigantic mulberry tree next to my house.
So oh my gosh.
I can never breathe. And then like, you know, with teaching, I'm always sick from the kids. So, but I haven't noticed anything directly from Benny. I don't think, but I don't huff Benny like I do Parker.
Okay.
She's allergy, so, I mean, the one I sniff, but I've never noticed an issue, but I feel like I get.
She's your favorite smell, I think.
Oh, she
pineapples or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. She's my favorite. I think it's her diet. Cause it's all, you know, it's a lot of fruit and vegetables. So she smells really good. But no, I've never noticed an issue, but I think if you keep up with the husbandry and the cleaning part, then that'll help. I'm not one to go and like tell people what to do with their parrots on the internet, but I did see one where the cage was like really coated in poop. And I was like, hey, you know, just for your health and your parrot's health, but your health really, don't let it build up, because that bacteria and that fungus that can grow, like you don't want that in your lungs. And
yeah.
Is it pigeon lover's disease people can get if you're not consistently cleaning up after your bird?
Yeah. So. And even like dried bird poop, like you think it does no harm, but like it's still going into, you know, the air that you're breathing. And that's why it's so important to clean that regularly and not let it build up. And also, like you mentioned, having an air purifier.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to also pick your brain a little bit about having budgies, because I've actually had people reach out before and be like, can you get somebody to talk a little bit about budgie care and what it's like to have budgies? And I know that they're really small. And so tell us a little bit about budgies.
I feel like I have a set kind of experience with budgies because Louis was an adult when I got him and his experience kind of altered. I will say, I think budgies can be really wonderful and very accessible parrots. They're very intelligent. They're very interactive and fun, but they do need the same needs as a larger parrot, just on a different scale. They're not trash birds, and it's kind of devastating when you see a lot of people get them and then they don't know how long it takes to tame a budgie or how they work. So then they get kind of discarded or left alone in a cage. I think budgies, if you get one, personally, like mine's an adult and I love him dearly, but if you want a super, like that's your buddy budgie, get him younger so that you can expose them to more socialization and they're not as flighty when they're older. And I do feel like you need more than one, but you need another bird. You can't just have one budgie. That's just my opinion. I mean, you can do it obviously, but I think they're happier with other birds. They're so social that if you're not spending a lot of time with them, they probably need a friend. I've seen some creators though on TikTok where they have really great training with their budgies. You know, they're very interactive. Louis's like the glue of my flock. Sorry, he's singing right now. And he's kind of really helped just kind of bring everything together. I don't know how to explain it, but like with my cockatiel seeing me with my budgie really helped us, like him trust me too. Sorry, I went off on a tangent. But if you want a budgie, you know, look into flight cages, look into that taming process. And just really be prepared to put in the time for the bird. They're not ready-made pets. Like a dog's kind of designed to be with you. We've domesticated them.
Yeah.
Whereas with a parrot, it's a huge process of just meeting your bird at their level, and they can't meet you at yours. They're not domesticated.
Exactly. And
lowering your expectations. But I will say, having Louis, you know, I've had him for 4-ish years. He's changed so much and is like super like social, and it's an ever changing relationship. They're not stuck in place. I hope that makes sense.
But. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that there's like a lot of, you know, misconceptions around budgies because, you know, they're so small and their beaks are so small and they're so tiny that, you know, sometimes people might think like, oh, it's less work, or they need less of something, or I don't have to do certain things with them because they're so small, or I can just leave them in this cage and they'll be fine. And, you know, the fact is that they're still parrots, and it doesn't really matter the size of the parrot, whether it's as small as a budgie or as big as a macaw. Like, they need a healthy diet. They need socialization. Yeah. They need training, and they need toys and enrichment and all these different things.
It's just on an affordable scale because it's smaller, the item, you know, the toys are smaller, so they're more affordable, but they still need it.
Yeah. And you can get away with, you know, getting a big cage for a budgie, but like, if you want to get a cage that's decently sized for a macaw, it's going to be like 10 times bigger, and the cost is going to be 10 times that. So budget is another thing to consider as well.
They're definitely the most accessible parrot, I think, for people, but they're also, like you were saying, like they have so much personality, and they are very smart. And I know, I don't want to, this word anthropomorphize, how do you say that word? Anthropomorphize birds. We put human feelings on an animal. I don't want to say that, but I always tell people, like, parrots are like little people because they have emotions and intelligence like us. So if you wouldn't do it to a small child, don't do it to your parrot. I'm not saying that, I don't want to put too many human emotions on a parrot, but they're, you wouldn't lock a child in a closet all day with nothing to do. So don't do it to your bird.
Absolutely.
And I think most people, their heart's in a really good place. I just feel like there's not a lot of information out there that's easily accessible for some people. Like if you're not used to kind of researching, I research for fun because I'm a nerd, but not everybody's like that, you know? So it's hard to, I wish there was more available information about that, I guess.
I think the other thing that when it comes with parrots is there's a lot of like mixed information out there, and sometimes people don't know like how to filter out the good stuff and like the proper care information with the bad stuff. And so sometimes it gets confusing too. And I just think that the other part of it is that because they're undomesticated and we haven't had them as pets as long as some other types of animals, that there is continuous like studies being done and information coming out that, you know, sometimes it's hard to keep up with it as well.
But I agree.
That's why we're here and we're chatting, because we're trying to get to know more about parrots. What about Indian ringnecks?
Okay. This might be controversial here. I love my Indian ringneck dearly, but they are difficult birds. Out of all of the parrots I've had, she has been the most difficult in terms of the taming process. I mean, she was an adult when I got her, which I think is a part of it. Yeah. And I don't know. I do think she was I don't think the breeder that the person got it from, she had mentioned that, that they hand raised her, but she had a concern that maybe they didn't let her interact with the parents as much before. So I feel like there's some issues with her that may not be specific to the whole species. Indian ringnecks they're kind of like mini African grays to me. They're very intelligent and they're not cuddly. And it's not because they don't like you, and you can't really, some are cuddly, but it's usually because of their breeding style. They only do it for the season. Conures kind of stay together for life. So they're very affectionate birds because that's how they bond in the wild. Whereas with Indian ringnecks, it's kind of like, hey, it's time, and they have a new mate. They don't mate for life. So I feel like, if you're not aware of like their body language and their predispositions for certain behavior, you might be disappointed if you're expecting a very, very affectionate, cuddly bird. I know there's some, like I see a bunch on TikTok, they're so stinking cute and affectionate and adorable. And mine's really sweet and adorable, but she doesn't want to be on me. She likes to be around me. I know their hormones when they're younger hit them kind of harder versus like my cockatiel is a little angel all the time. And she's a female, so she gets more nesty behaviors, and I have to be, because they're nesting, if they try to nest, they're going to try and defend it. And then you have a fight. So I have to really watch her and make sure it's not something she's up to, if that makes sense. But
has she ever been like aggressive towards you, like biting?
Oh yeah. She bites me all the time. I with her, I have just tried everything. I tried so much advice on the internet and like conflicting things. One person said, just let him bite you. And I was like, okay. And I tried it, and I let her bite me, and then she stopped. Like after that, she's like, okay.
oh, really? It actually worked?
Yeah, because it was like, I was just trying to get her to get dinner. So I was trying to get her off a certain perch, and she just would not let me. And I don't like grabbing them or forcing them. So I just kind of kept my finger there and she kept biting me and then she stopped. But I never had to do that with any other bird. So I feel like it was, I don't know if that's like a rule of thumb. Some yeah. people say it teaches them to lose trust in you. I don't feel that with her, but I don't know. I was kind of like, I don't care anymore. I just need her to not hurt me. So
yeah.
But I will say Indian ringnecks, like they're not easy. I know there's no beginner birds, but I feel like if you're new to parrots completely, they might be difficult to start with, if that makes
okay.
sense.
Okay. Yeah, that makes total sense. I want to touch on biting because I know that there's a lot of stuff online. I also did a reel on, you know, the awareness of like parrots bite. And I posted a bunch of different pictures that I got from different people with different mm-hmm. birds and just the bites that they've received. Because I think that it's important to know that when you have a bird, a bite can happen. And there's a lot of comments on this reel that like, my bird's never bitten me, or if you're getting bit, you're doing something wrong, or bites are totally normal. It's not, you know, if they'll bite you, it's when they'll bite you. That's part of parrot care. So it's like very mixed. And I think that it's yeah. important to know when we're talking about biting that even if you have the perfect bird, even if you're like the perfect parrot owner, a bite can still happen. And even if you're getting bit or you get bit, it doesn't mean that you're a bad owner. And it doesn't mean that you're not, you know, trying or doing all of the right things. And parrots bite for a lot of different reasons. And yes, like we've touched on several times, it's just really important to get to know your bird on an individual level, but yeah. it's so important to learn their body language and to mm-hmm. also like learn what are the different reasons why they might be biting. Like, is it spring and my bird's hormonal? Is like my bird at, you know, this age, are they 3 years old and hitting puberty? Or, you know, are they pissed off about something? Or, you know, am I doing yeah. something to aggravate them and so on?
I think that's such a good point you made too, is because, you know, I think most people, like I said, are very well-intentioned, and I know I am too. And I may say the wrong things, but it's coming out of a good place. I don't like shaming people for things with parrots. You know, like if your parrot bites you, you're, like you were saying, you're not a bad owner, but you got to adjust. And it's like a checklist.
Yeah.
Are they mad? Yeah. And you go through, and sometimes it might be multiple things. It might be their cage. It might be the way the light shined on them. You don't know because you can't communicate with them, obviously. But no, I think behavior, like you're saying, it's a communication, and what are they communicating? And every bite I've gotten, I've just tried to figure out why. With Parker, I've realized she's molting. She doesn't want me to be around her, or she's hungry. She's hangry.
Yeah.
and so this one, he's territorial, and it's different per bird. And I think as long as you're committed to your parrot and you're consistent with your parrot and their care, stuff happens. You're not a bad owner. You know, it's yeah. like with parenting. I feel like I get so much anxiety as a parent and a parent. Am I doing enough? Are they happy? Am I meeting their needs? And
yeah.
I think some people get discouraged when they're constantly told they're doing a bad job. So I really try. I think that's why I kind of made my page, was just look at what you can do with these guys. And like, man, if you really like, they can be really awesome. Don't give up. And I think reaching out in a community where you feel safe to ask for help is really nice too. And I feel like sometimes parrot people get a bad rep though. Like, oh, they're so mean in the parrot community. And I have to disagree with that, because I've just met so many wonderful people and I've gotten so much help from people. And, you know, I think sometimes the loud kind of overshadows the good, if that yeah. makes sense. But I just love parrot people.
I also love parrot people, because if you love birds, then you've got to be a great person. And I think that like we're all out here like just trying to help each other and like try to navigate what like bird ownership life is like, and just help each other so that, you know, we can also provide a really good life for these beautiful birdies.
Yeah. And it's, you know, visibility is important.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask you very quickly also, so you got your birds and you got a different species of bird each time. Why did you decide to get a different species versus like getting, you know, all conures or all cockatiels or anything like that?
I think I just wanted to experience every species.
Yeah. So what's next?
Like, I think I'm done for a while. I really like Benny, I think has been so rewarding for me. He was a plucker when I got him, And just the amount that this bird has changed since I've had him, it's very rewarding. And I really want to start when my kids are a little older, I want to start like fostering for the rescue or something like that. So I'm kind of like holding off on official flock members, but like, I'd love a macaw. I'd love, you know,
yeah, they're such gorgeous birds.
I'd like a cockatoo, maybe not one, but one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like learning about the species, and it's like a new relationship every time.
Yeah.
I mean, if I did stick with one species, I'd have 1,000 cockatiels because they're just wonderful.
Yeah. Speaking of cockatiels, I wanted you to explain something because I saw this on your Instagram and I was like, what? Cockatiels do butt blasts? Please explain to us what this is and why they do it.
So when they're evading predators, most of the time it's from behind that they're, you know, they're flying ahead of the predator. And so they'll drop their tail feathers as a defense mechanism. If something grabs it, then they'll release them. So if you scare your cockatiel enough or they get scared of something, they might just drop all their feathers and be buttless.
That's crazy. And in the wild, does this defense mechanism work? Like when you've done your research, does it work?
It does. The only issue they may have after is they don't fly as efficiently. So they're kind of like weaker until they grow back. It's interesting, like African grays have a defense mechanism where they guard each other when they forage and have alert calls. The eclectus females are red because they can hide in dark spaces better. So it's kind of interesting. Each parrot has their own.
Yeah,
my sun conure is a better guard dog than my Great Dane was because their alert call is so loud. So they they let you know when they think you're not safe. My vacuum cleaner is always trying to kill everyone, according to my sun conure.
Oh my gosh. Okay. There was another thing I wanted to talk to you about because when you did this reel, I was like, this is amazing. I love this. And you're really good at doing like research and then like you make a whole reel about it. You also make a lot of really funny reels. I feel like you're like the queen of like burb reel memes. And I don't know how you get all of these ideas. You must know like every movie. And I'm like, yes, that's exactly me in every reel. But I wanted to ask you about neophobia because I really loved that. And I was like, that makes sense because we talk about this all the time, how like parrots can just be like scared of like the most random things, or people are like, I don't understand why my parrot is scared of this or why it makes them angry. And the answer is neophobia in short and in long, just as tell us about it.
Neophobia is just the fear of new or unfamiliar things. And with, you know, with parrots, they may show that with aggression or taking off in flight, erratic behavior. Miss Parker, my eclectus, had neophobia over my finger splint. And it was a metal cast kind of thing. And she flew into my window and kept flying into it. And she was I had to take her to the vet because I was worried about her. But I thought she was sick, but it was because she was scared of my finger splint. And with neophobia, it's something that it's a stimulus that they're not used to. African grays are actually really known to have a lot of neophobic tendencies where they get very scared of change or new things. I've heard of people where their African gray will pluck when their cage gets rearranged. And it kind of goes back to really socializing and desensitizing your parrot if you can when you first get them. But they think like with the African gray, they're parent fed in the wild, but for a longer period of time, and they're with their parents longer, being exposed to more. And in captivity, perhaps they were taking them away too early or not exposing them to enough. And that led to like a lack of confidence. I was reading a study that said that birds that were wild caught back in the day were less, in the wild, they were less scared of new things versus captive bred. But I think it's because the wild ones were exposed to way more, you know? So with neophobia, it's not that you're doing anything wrong, but you know, I wore red eyeshadow and Parker wanted to kill me that day too. So sometimes they just won't like things because it alerts them in some way.
Yeah. Or certain colors. Like Mia, a year ago, she hated my mascara. Every time I was about to do my makeup, she saw the mascara. She was like, "What is that?" And she would like get so angry about it. But now, you know, she's seen it so many times where she doesn't care about it. But yeah, she has that like with random things or like socks or like markers, you know, like she's like, what is this? And she like either, you know, gets angry or like freaks out about it. But it's because, you know, things that are new and unfamiliar, sometimes it can even happen. Like when you put a new toy into their cage, they might be like, what is this? Like, get it away from me. I don't want to be near it. And so I think desensitization is really important, but also doing like slow introductions with like new things. And if your bird like freaks out over like, you know, your new mug or something, like it's not anything you necessarily did wrong or, you know, that they're hating you for a specific reason. It's just that parrots are like that. They get scared of new and unfamiliar things, and we have to just be patient with them and understand that part of them.
Well, everything's trying to eat them, you know, in the wild. So it totally makes sense. I bought like a one of those big fancy tree stands. I don't know if you've seen those, but it was like $100 and some odd, but I bought one and they were like, no. But then I noticed if you make a big deal out of things, sometimes I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. Like a toddler is like, this is great. And it's all mine.
And then they're kind of warmed up to it. Perch up on it yourself. And they're like, hey, that's cool.
Like if you make a big deal out of stuff or even like food, sometimes they're like, and they'll join in on the fun. Not all the time, but sometimes.
Like you said earlier, we got to take the same approach as we do with like kids. So.
Yeah. And that's why I love talking to them so much, because it does kind of, oh, you don't want any, do you? I'm sorry. Do you find yourself like whistling to random outdoor birds though? Like I do that now. I talk to pigeons.
I talk to random outdoor birds. I actually think that it's not just with birds. I just like talk to all animals now, because I love animals, animal lovers. There was another awesome reel that you did, and it was about dreaming. And this reel, I loved it because I was like, this is something that I've always wondered. I've wondered, do parrots dream? I know my dog dreams, because sometimes he's like running while he's on the couch, you know? So I'm like, I know he's dreaming. I hope he's dreaming about me. But I always wonder, like, do parrots dream? And based on the research you did, it seems like they do, but I'll let you tell us about what you found in that research. It was something about like their brains light up when they're in.
Yeah, they did like scans of them to see what areas are activated. And they noted that it was the, thank you for the reminder, that it was the same areas that kind of related to when they are, basically they're synthesizing information when they're sleeping, kind of like humans really.
Yeah.
Maybe practicing new sounds and speech in their. And, you know, it's kind of interesting with some of the really good talking parrot species, like the African gray or the Amazon, they have certain sounds for certain flock members. And that's why they're such great talkers in captivity. This is this flock member. This is that flock member. And I think even chickens have like up to 200 vocalizations they do. So when they're dreaming, we don't know what they're seeing, but they are having some brain activity and kind of consolidating that information. But I didn't see anything about nightmares. My cockatiel had a night terror. And so I was kind of wondering if it was a bad dream or something scared him, which kind of led me down that path. But
cockatiels have like night frights. Like this is like a regular thing that I've heard from different cockatiel owners, is with this type of parrot, like they're prone to having night frights and they can freak out just like if they see a shadow or anything at night.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's just like a defense mechanism, you know, if something's hunting them at night, then they're more hyper aware. My cockatiels had one night terror and it was really sad. You just hear the cage shaking and it was like, oh. So some people do a nightlight for their cockatiels. Or covering them at night. Some people do different things.
You got to find what works for you and for your bird. But I think that's really lucky that your cockatiel has had only one night fright.
Yeah, I don't know. I think something my son was doing in his room probably scared him, because they share a wall. My poor kid probably hears the talking all night. But
okay, awesome. I have got one more question and then we'll go into some funny questions. But before that, let everybody know how they can find you on social media.
I have a TikTok. It's just JessaLynn000. And then I have an Instagram. I still get really anxious, if you can't tell. I get very shy. So check it out, but you don't have to.
Yes, check it out. Jess's great and you're gonna love her content. It's also funny.
Anything with birds, I'll talk about.
Awesome. So the last thing that I wanted to chat about for, you know, everybody who's listening or thinking about getting a bird, and I know you did a post on this as well, is what advice can we give people who are bringing a bird home or are thinking about getting a bird? What are some things to do to prepare before you bring a bird home?
I think the most common thing I hear, sadly, is my bird died because I had a candle or because I used a nonstick pan. So just, and it sucks because it's not common knowledge. Like everyone knows chocolate's bad for dogs. Nonstick and fumes and cleaning supplies are extremely toxic, toxic for parrots. So be aware of what in your house is dangerous for your birds. The other thing is look at the introduction process, because I feel like that's a great first step, and don't have expectations for them to be fully interactive like a puppy or a cat right away. You have to kind of build the bond. Diet's really important, and getting that kind of started off the bat is a lot easier rather than later.
Yeah. Don't feed just seeds.
Yeah. And find an avian vet if you can, because if you have an emergency, you don't want to be rushing. I learned that the hard way with my cockatiel. He broke some blood feathers. I didn't know what was going on. I thought he was dying. He was fine, but luckily that I found one. But if I didn't, you know, what would have happened to him? And just looking at cage sizes and just, you know, do your research on basic care. And then as you go kind of branch through, but just be aware that, you know, you're always going to be researching, but it should be fun.
Yeah.
There's always something to learn about parrots.
Yeah. I think that the research before bringing any bird home is so important, because you really want to know like what the specific species like care requirements are, like what their body language is like, what their sounds might mean, and all these different
That's
things.
A good one.
And yeah, with cages, I think the bigger, the better. Always go as big as your budget will allow you, and never get like the smallest one. And the pet stores always usually sell only small ones. So I always say like, go to the online parrot stores, because they usually have a lot more and bigger options. But speaking of budget, like you also have to be prepared to spend quite a bit of money, especially in the beginning. You got to get a big cage. You got to get a variety of different perches, some ropes, a variety of different toys. And then, like you mentioned, also like diet, you know, it's so important, and they need like a raw, fresh food diet. Like they need to be eating real whole foods, just like we do. For us, we always hear nutritionists tell us like, eat whole foods. You are what you eat. And it's the same for them. And you got to think about like, what are they eating in the wild? Like they're not eating, you know, these store-bought mixes and like, you know, highly processed foods. Yes, seeds are good for them, but in moderation, and it shouldn't consist of like their entire diet or like just sunflower seeds all day, every day, because then that's just too much.
Yeah. And like some species might have different levels, you know, like Parker, she only gets like 10% seeds, whereas others, you know, like they need a bigger chunk of pellets. So like very species specific. And it's like with budgies, you know, they are very affordable. They're $30, but my $30 budgie has cost me a lot of money because of the cage, and somehow I ended up with a bunch of other birds. And if you get one, you're going to end up with a bunch because you can't stop because they're just so great.
Yeah. And they're so cute.
But yeah. And the other thing too, is it's a cost for a long time, because they're not, you know, I've had dogs and I've had cats, and Parker's going to be with me until I'm not on earth, basically. So it's it's a big commitment, and you know, just keep in mind for that. But consistency, I've noticed, is key with parrots.
Yeah, consistency and patience. And like you were touching on the lifespan, like research how long they live, and like, you know, are you going to be able to have a plan for that bird if they're going to outlive you? Like if I was to get a baby macaw today, I would need to have a plan for this macaw, because it would likely outlive me. So you got to think about those things as well. We touched about hormones too. So learn about bird puberty and hormones, because that is, like you mentioned, the time where most people end up rehoming their birds or giving them up to a rescue, because they don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with it. And it's intense. It's a lot. Yeah.
Another thing that's really important that I forgot about is being aware of medical issues. Not like just because birds hide it so well. I always see people like, what do I do? My birds are not moving. And it's like, if your bird's showing symptoms of illness, it's most likely already an emergency because they hide it for so long. So if your bird has drainage and they're breathing heavily, like it's an emergency. It's not something you can wait on. Once they show signs, they're in distress.
Absolutely.
And then sometimes there's stuff they just are born with or
I think that there's also like different species are prone to also like certain diseases or certain things happening. So yeah, research I think is just the most important thing and really understanding what you're getting yourself into. And if you can spend time with birds, specifically the species you're interested in, before you get one of your own.
It's hard too, because sometimes, you know, some areas it's really hard to be able to do that. So if you can find a rescue or, you know, anything to get that bird experience. I was lucky to have the brother-in-law. So,
And I think it's also like, it's definitely a lot different when you're like watching videos online, or even if you go see them in the pet store, than when it is when you actually bring them home and you're living with them 24/7. And then you're really like, oh, this is what it's like to get a bird. That's why everyone says that they're messy. They poop a lot. They scream, et cetera.
It's kind of like, you'll find a system that works for you. Like it's not, like with mine, I have like my stations with the paper that makes the cleaning a little easier. I need their cage really fun so that if they're not in the mood to be with me, they're at least comfortable there. And it's just kind of working around their needs.
Awesome. All right. Let's wrap things up and ask some fun questions.
Okay.
Do your birds ever have heated debates about who is the smartest or the funniest in the flock, or do they gossip?
Well, they definitely gossip. You can hear Louis right now. He's telling a big story. He's the gossip. We all know that he's probably also the smartest and the best. I mean, he's the reason I got six birds. I think Parker knows she's the favorite. Sorry, guys. She knows. That's why she's such a brat. Yeah. So she's perfect. They're all jealous of him. My cockatiel. So
cute.
And he's our house grouch.
If your birds had a band, what would the band name be and who would play which instrument?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
You need a band name first.
Six pack, I don't know.
The six pack, I love it.
Parker would have to be vocals.
Yeah, then she's the singer.
Yeah. Angie and Toshi would be guitar. Toshi has the mohawk.
Oh yeah. Maybe, yeah.
I think he'd be the
Awesome. Do your birds ever play pranks on each other? And what's the best one that they've pulled? Or on you?
The toy thieving. I don't know if you saw that when I got the birdie box toy and they were all stealing it from each other. I got a toy and Toshi picked it out of the box and he was playing with it, and then Parker stole it. And then Angie stole it. And then my Indian ringneck stole it. And so I put it away because I was like, I'm not going to have a bird fight over a toy. And
she
dug it out of the box and stole it.
No way. You have to get that toy times six.
Well, the owner is like the sweetest and she sent me six. I have to make a video on it still, but she sent each bird a version of it. So
cute. That's awesome.
Yeah, stinkers.
Have your parents ever had a family meeting? And what do they discuss, or what do you think they discuss?
I'm assuming world domination, for sure.
I feel like that's what every parent wants to do. Dominate the world.
Dominate the world and get all the seeds in the treat bags.
Yeah.
We'll see them in circles sometimes. Yeah. Mainly the little guys. My little three will hang out over the food dish and talk.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed any rivalries or alliances that have formed between your flock?
I think sometimes they get mad at Louie because he doesn't stay with his friends and he's always talking to everybody. I am telling them. Sorry, he's mad. He's kind of like always hovering. So he flies around and kind of talks to everybody. He's the gossip. And then Parker gets jealous if I sing to the little birds. I think she thinks she's little. So she'll try and fly over, but then they leave when she comes around. So But if I sing, they all fly, and then we all kind of dance, except for Benny. I think Benny hates me secretly, but also loves me a little bit.
All right, so, last one. If your parents were to write a book, what would the title be, and what would the book be about?
Need for Seed. How to get.
That's the best book title I've heard so far.
Need for Seed and how to get your humans to give them to you.
How to convince your humans to give you as much seeds as possible.
Yeah, life in the fast lane.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Well, Jessa, thank you so much for joining me on this episode. It was so awesome to talk to you and get to know your flock and also get to know about all of these different species.
Thanks for having me and Mia as well.
Yeah, she's just back to napping.
So good.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the Para Podcast. I'm your host, Sandra, along with Mia. We hope that you enjoyed this episode, that you learned something and had fun with us, and we'll see you in the next episode. Oh, and one more thing. This podcast is presented solely for educational and entertainment purposes. I'm not a licensed avian vet, behaviorist, or professional expert in parrots. The information provided is not intended as a substitute for professional advice from a qualified avian vet, trainer, or behaviorist. Please consult with a specialist for personalized guidance on your specific situation.